States of America affects how you live. Let me ask it another way in contrast. What if your citizenship was in Rwanda, Africa? Do you think you would live differently? See, I'm going to contend that the way we live is greatly affected by what country we live in and by what citizenship we have. The Apostle Paul was most likely in prison when he wrote these words to the church at Philippi. He loved this church above all the other churches that he founded. He loved them because they were with him through thick and thin. They supported him financially. He loved them. They loved him back. They did. The word joy is often in the letter to the Philippians. Philippi was a city that was 800 miles east of Rome. And many of the people who populated the city were veterans of the Roman legions. They had received the land because of the victories of the Roman armies and as their veteran rights, right, and reward. It was a Roman citizenship was so important to them. It was the greatest standing you could have in that world at that time, to be called a Roman citizen. Jesus would not have been crucified if he had been a Roman citizen. Oh, he would have been murdered and killed, that's for sure. But he wouldn't have been crucified. Why? Because Rome dictated that you could not crucify any Roman citizen. They had a whole host of rights that people who were non-citizens didn't have. In essence, what Paul is saying to them, you think being a Roman citizen is great. It doesn't even compare to being a citizen of heaven. There are some people who think that our American citizenship and our heavenly citizenship overlap or in some way are equal. The Bible would not go along with that. This word of God tells us that we are most definitely in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? We're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of it. Our citizenship is in heaven, we who believe. In other words, our heavenly citizenship outstrips our American citizenship. Now, it's right to be patriotic, love our country, but heavenly citizenship should guide our lives. There is much ungodliness in American culture. Would you agree? And we need to resist that. On a personal level, there's obvious tension between the two citizenships. As I analyze our culture today versus how Jesus teaches us how we ought to live in the Spirit, we see competing values. It can be probably summed up in some questions. Do we prize comfort over commitment? Is self-indulgence more important to us than self-sacrifice? And do we value possessions as more important than people? Paul writes, their God is their stomach, or in our text, it's the belly. I don't know, I prefer the other version. It says stomach, but belly. What does he have in mind? Well, Paul has in mind those Christians, because he's writing to Christians, those who treasured their selfish and sensual desires. They gloried in their shame, just like Christians do today, who flaunt the commandments and say, well, I have liberty to do this, you know, or it's not that important. We don't do it that way anymore today, you know. Well, when did it change? They gloried in their shame, their mindset on earthly things. Just so many tried to blend the values of these two citizenships. Materialism and sexual immorality are all over the place in American culture. Am I not right? Which citizenship are you going to esteem the most? Which one will you bow to? Which one will guide your life and how you act? You and I, who are citizens of heaven, when we sin, are we not ashamed of our sin? Sorrowful, even angry at ourselves? Isn't that what we do? Right? We don't boast in it, and we said, oh, well, I slept with another person tonight. It's not my spouse, you know. I mean, we don't brag or boast about sin. Some Christians do. No, when we sin, we are sorrowful about our sin. We seek His mercy and forgiveness. We remember the words of God. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just, will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Or from Acts chapter 10, where it says, everyone who believes in Him receives the forgiveness of sins in His name. That's what we run after. This is the privilege given to all citizens of heaven. We have a mediator. We have forgiveness from our Lord. Our scripture makes it clear that there are three identifying marks of those who are citizens of heaven. Three identifying marks that I think you have, right? First of all, citizens of heaven come together. They come together to worship, but they keep their eyes on godly examples. Paul says, imitate me in my pattern of life. In a church, we grow by being around fellow Christians. And we really, really need each other. We do. Here's a fatal mistake that some make. They stop gathering together. Satan loves that. He would rather take us on one by one than have us face, or he face, a regiment. It's so important that we're united as brothers and sisters of Christ. We don't lose track of each other. It's good to see you sitting in a place where you're near people that you know and care about. We need to be united in that way. A few years ago, a naval admiral, William H. McCraven, told a story in a 2014 commencement address at the University of Texas in Austin. He told about a cohort of Navy SEALs in training who were entering a grueling week of conditioning. They had very little sleep. They endured intensive physical conditioning, intensive challenges. On Wednesday of that week, the trainees were directed down to the mud flats in swampy area between San Diego and Tijuana. The trainees would be spending the next 15 hours in ice-cold mud up to their necks. 15 hours. You imagine that? However, there was a way out. The instructors announced that if five men from the training cohort dropped out, then all the trainees could get out of the mud and go back to base. It only took five of them. Needed to give up on this exercise, and all the rest of the men could leave. Then something wonderful took place. In response to the instructor's taunts, one of the trainees began to sing. And then another joined him. And then another joined him. And then the instructors yelled out, threatening trainees with more time in the mud if they kept singing. Stop singing! All that was met with was more people began to sing. The admiral said, we knew that if one man could rise above the misery, that the others could as well. If I've learned anything in my time traveling the world is the power of hope. But I would say the real message here is it's the power of mutual encouragement. Mutual encouragement. That's why we gather together. That's why we try to learn each other's names. That's why we pray for each other. To hold on to each other. The world's a rough place, but we're citizens of heaven. We have that in common. This is a very important characteristic of being a citizen of heaven. We don't leave each other behind. The second characteristic of we who are true citizens of heaven is that we eagerly await a Savior from there. We eagerly await a Savior from there. I would suspect that those of you who are on the young side here might say, I don't want the world to end next week because I want to experience all that life has. I want to get married. I want to have children. I want to do this. I want to travel here. I want to experience that. I have to admit, when I was younger, I had that kind of same thing. Oh, Lord, I want the world to come to an end, but not now, right? But I know this now. This is a failure of imagination. This is a failure of imagination. You can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be when Christ comes. Everything you yearn to experience will be overshadowed by what you will experience when he comes again. All that will be taken away from you is pain, remorse, sadness, betrayals, all the evil in the world. That's the only thing you're going to miss. It's certainly true that we who are older have seen more of life's reversals, even the brutal side of life. We have an additional yearning for Christ's return. Trouble, heartache, pain. Some people know some of that. Yeah. We know the sharper contrast, which is compared to Christ's return. But whatever state you are in, whatever age you're in, a desire to see Jesus return today or tomorrow is a universal sign that you are a true citizen of heaven. I look forward to his coming. The third hallmark of a citizen of heaven is that we have a dedication to Jesus Christ and allegiance to his gospel. In other words, we stand firm under the pressures that other citizenship, our American citizenship, puts on us. We resist wavering in our commitment to the Lord. We are steadfast in worship, in Bible study, and in prayer. We are steadfast in those things. We don't give up on them. We need to avoid the trap that causes us to vacillate. One day we're completely earnest in our faith. The next day we're apathetic and half-hearted. The Bible says such people are double-minded and lukewarm. This was said of the church of Laodicea. In the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks to the various churches, the seven churches, and he says to the church at Laodicea, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. The church of Laodicea, in my mind, is most like the American church. A church that is rampant with materialism and sexual immorality and wavering. Jesus says to that church of Laodicea, and maybe he says it to us, you say I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. In other words, Jesus sees them as they really are. We often can't see ourselves as we really are because, like boiling that frog, it's you know that story, it's just been slowly, slowly inundating the church with the values of the world. Our text begins and ends with a rallying cry, and that's meant for us today. Paul says in the first verse of the scripture, as I've already mentioned, to imitate me. The self-professed chief of sinners says, imitate me, because he knew the immensity of Jesus' sacrifice for him, and his life was completely transformed. And then the last verse ends with appeal to stand firm. Don't be duped into conforming your life to the majority. As citizens of heaven, we turn away from licentiousness, sensual and selfish lives of people who have turned grace into license. But that's not you. That's not you. That's not who we are. We believe we need a divine blessing. Is that not so? We believe that Jesus suffered and died for us. Is that not so? We believe in the grace and forgiveness that Jesus brings. Is that not so? And we believe in heaven. Is that not so? Yes. So let's continue to live out the three marks that make us citizens of heaven, that show us that we are. Number one, we will gather together, worship, and follow godly examples and encourage one another. Two, we will eagerly await Jesus' return, his second coming. And three, we will stand firm in our faith and our commitment to Jesus. This is who we are. We're not perfect by a long shot. We're flawed sinners who have been made righteous by the death of Jesus on the cross, justified and put right with the Father by his resurrection. We are we not, citizens of heaven. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.